Right. So, when did you first realise that you had a comical talent? I say comical in inverted commas, but...
Comical talent. I still don't know if I have. I know that when I was 11 years old, mm-hmm. We had a talent thing at school where we did an assembly in the morning and people showed off their talents, and I did stand-up comedy then. Mm-hmm. So I think that was when I first realised I had an inkling that I might want to be a comedian in the future.
Okay. And you know, I think comedians, in a sense, they get this bad press sometimes because they're not generally funny. And it takes it's a hard business to break into. Do you agree with that?
I would agree that the worst part about comedy is that you do your apprenticeship in public. Mm-hmm. There is no way you can go away somewhere and quietly practice stand-up comedy. You have to do it in front of witnesses. Mm-hmm. That's how you work out whether or not it's funny.
So how do you go about doing preparing for a typical stand-up routine then?
Well, for the Edinburgh Festival, my preparation is writing a really long hour show. Mm-hmm. But generally, if I'm doing a short gig, I try and keep it as loose as possible. And I'll maybe look at my iPhone where I've got a selection of notes and go, I might try that.
Do you feel as though you like getting audience participation? Do you feel as though they're a part of the show as well?
Or? Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I have just recently compared Leighton Live, mm-hmm. where most of the evening was about an incredibly drunk cheesemonger who was about to get married, wasn't sure if he wanted to get married, but could definitely get everyone 20% off their cheese in Morningside. So that became one of the motifs of the evening.
That just sounds even...
Was the cheesemonger.
Yeah, that sounds bizarre. So, when you were, obviously, you said about how you, when you were 11 years old, you first realised you had that comical talent.
Yeah.
Were there anybody that was heroes to you that you aspired to be when you were growing up?
Oh, when I was growing up, that's easy. My dad is from Glasgow, and we had a lot of Billy Connolly, mm-hmm. LPs. You're a young man.
Yes.
LPs are like downloads, but much more unwieldy.
I've dealt with LPs before.
You understand the vinyl.
Yes.
So I had vinyl of five or six Connollys, and a few Jasper Carrots as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
So I sort of listened to those mm-hmm. as a kid and went, oh, that's something I might want to do.
Even though you see now, when it's still, you've got your Michael McIntyre, your Billy Connolly, do you still aspire to be like them, or do you think
one of the best things about Billy Connolly is that he does seem to make it all up on the spot, mm-hmm. and I think that's an incredible gift. So I try and sort of have that spontaneity.
Yeah.
Jasper Carrot, I thought, was just a good writer of jokes. Mm-hmm. Even then.
He is quite funny. So obviously your show is at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Uh-huh.
Where is it, when is it, and what can the audience expect from that?
Right, it is at the Gilded Balloon. Mm-hmm. It is at 5:45 in the Sportsman Bar. What can the audience expect? I'd like to hope a giddy ride. There's a show, there's a narrative, and there's a lot of jokes, and there's a structure to it. But I try and involve people in a way that I don't want to reveal too much about it.
Yeah.
But it's audience participation, but in a nice way.
Lovely.
So they all get to, they have a lovely time.
It's
That's
always
the idea.
Nice when you go to the shows like that and you see that it's not heavy. Well, when you say audience have a lovely time, it's kind of, the audience have heavily...
Well, you're certainly not going to give them a hard time mm-hmm. for turning up and buying a ticket.
Absolutely.
You're not going to berate them for that.
No, exactly. It's one of these things that you... That's one of the things why I generally, some comedians, when I'm watching them on the telly, we see it's like...
Yeah, there's a bit of... There's a bullying element, and that's not what I'm all about at all.
No, it's always nice
You want to spread the good news that a guy who makes cheese is getting married in 2 weeks.
And he can offer you 20%.
Well, the plan is that we all go there at 2 p.m, but if this was a live broadcast, I'd get all your listeners to come as well, because there was about 100 people in the gig. If we get your listeners plus Leighton Live all turning up, a huge conga line of cheese eaters.
I'm sure the 90,000 listeners that we have would love to do that. So, in a sense then, do you do many shows, other shows in and around Edinburgh as well?
Oh,
or do you
of course.
Do...
Well, while I'm up here, I mean, I've been coming to the festival for years now. And for a stand-up, it's great because it's like a gymnasium. You get to do your own workout, but you also get to try out some new equipment. So while I've been up here, I've done improv, I've done a thing called set list, which is improvised stand-up. Next week, I'm doing a rap battle with another comedian. Oh, yeah,
nice.
Got that in my back pocket. I did a thing called school night, where you do lectures. Mm. So you get to sort of explore different disciplines within the world of stand-up and improv.
Do you think this is, you're considered a break within the, in terms of, I mean, by break, I mean break out there, getting out into the comedian world, if effectively, if you understand where I'm going.
Not quite. What, is this a break from being a comedian?
No, I mean, is it a big break, effectively? Is it something, oh, I can really get my teeth into it and I can get noticed and get...
Well, I think every person or every collection of people who come to the Fringe Festival would like something to come out of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I came here in 2003, a lady came to see my show who said, oh, would you like to maybe come and tour Australia? And I did that and I met a girl and I married that girl. So things can happen at this festival, probably more than any other.
So your show is obviously throughout August.
Yep.
Gilded Balloon, 5:45 p.m. I'm sure everybody would love to get it. I'm sure I'm definitely looking forward to it. I know that Ben was saying how great it was when he went.
Ben had fun, yeah. It was an excellent fun.
It was indeed. Do you get a certain enjoyment out of doing, performing at the Edinburgh Festival, right in the heart of the city?
I love it because comedians generally travel a lot. Mm-hmm. And so when you do a festival, there's that big commute at the beginning, at the end of July, and there's a big commute at the end. But I live 50 metres from here, and my commute to work is get out of bed, go down the stairs, cross Bristow Square, you're at work. And bearing in mind how much travel is involved in stand-up comedy, that's nice.
I've certainly heard of stories, and I've read it in the books, that comedians generally, when they're on tour, 160-day tour, sell-out tours.
Exactly.
They travel the length and breadth of the UK.
You're zigzagging around the country, or you're in and out of airports, going to places. So to come to Edinburgh for a whole month and not really have to move, that's pretty cool.
That's quite handy. Does this compare, then, in any way to other festivals that you've done?
This is the monster. I get to do, every year I do all the Australian festivals, which is Adelaide, Sydney, Perth, Melbourne, and then also New Zealand, Auckland and Wellington, and they're all lovely little comedy festivals. Melbourne Comedy Festival, I think, is one of the biggest comedy festivals on earth, and you could fit Melbourne Comedy Festival into Edinburgh Fringe 8 times. Edinburgh Fringe is enormous. There's so many shows, there's so much going on.
I mean, just from being here, it seems as though town's always busy anyway, but...
It's boggling, and it keeps growing. People keep finding places that they'll see a little room somewhere and go, we can put lights there, seats there, stage there, boom, that's a venue.
In terms of starting out, if, say, for example, I wanted to change what I was doing from radio to comedian, what tips would you give for anyone that's looking to start out?
Oh my goodness, if you're a comedian, my advice would be get some MC spots, because that means a lot of stage time and a lot of learning.
Okay.
Because if you do a little 5-minute guest spot, you can maybe get away with it and not really know why you've got away with it.
Yeah.
But if you're the MC, you're there for the whole night. So you can go through a lot of different experiences in one evening.
Okay. Well, Gordon, thank you very much. Good luck with your show. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to do this interview.
Cheers.